It's the first Sunday here for Harvest Baptist Church. Just so that you guys know, I know some familiar faces. We've been kind of talking about this for a few months. The idea with starting right now on Sundays is most churches start with a midweek service, a midweek Bible study. And we thought, well, we got a lot of people that don't really have a church home, you know, including us. I got a job over here in Olathe, and I'm working over here, going to move over here, bought a house over here. So we just thought, well, we'll just move our midweek Bible study over to Sunday and just go ahead and start. So that's kind of the idea is, during the summer months, we're going to take our time on Sundays to go over what's going to be the heart of the church, okay? So what I want to do this summer is, we're going to go through our first series. It's going to be on the discipleship. It's going to be on why we're here, what we're doing. And frankly, I think the church is here to be and make disciples. You and I, we're to be disciples. We're to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to focus on. That's the purpose of the local church, edification of the saints. We're edified in Christ, built up in Christ, and trained in Christ for a specific purpose, and that's to go and make disciples. Okay, Christ wants more followers. He wants us to evangelize. He wants us to go out into our community, evangelize to bring people in, and then he wants us, each and every one of us, to help in that edification process of building the disciples that God gives us. So I know, you know, looking around at faces, I see a lot of folks that are, you know, understand those concepts. But we're here to be and make disciples. So I want to take some time in the coming months, in the coming weeks, probably 2 or 3 months, to talk about this whole thing about being making disciples. Okay? And that's to try and get our core group, you know, the people that come and go and then stick with us. Toward the end of the summer, what I want to do is a literature campaign through Olathe, Lenexa, Overland Park area, and try and blanket the whole southern Johnson County area with between 10 and 50,000 brochure invitations that have a gospel presentation on it. And hopefully at that time we'll be in a school where we'll have facilities to manage some more people that are coming in and just put the word out there. You know, number one, to Christians who don't have a good church home, that, hey, we're here, here's what we believe, here's what we're about, okay? We're a Bible-believing church, okay? We believe in the preservation of the Scripture and the English language and the King James Bible. And we're a church committed specifically to 5 things. Intentional evangelism, biblical discipleship, expository preaching, theological training, and missions. That's what we're all about. That's how we believe we be and make disciples. And so we want to put the word out, and then starts that kind of campaign to say, hey, y'all come and see what the Lord gives us. So by that time, August time frame, you know, start a school. I'm hoping that we'll have our head around this idea of what does it mean to be and make a disciple. Okay? And so that's kind of the idea. That's why we started meeting on Sundays in a basement. And just kind of all of a sudden gonna go ahead and start. So that's where we're heading. Does anybody have any questions before we start? It's going to be pretty low-key this morning. Take your Bibles. Let's take a look. Just to start out, this is in the message. We're just going to start out with a Bible reading in Psalm 73. You guys will recognize this psalm. Okay, one of the bylaws in our church is bigger the Bible, better the Christians. So everybody, I got a wide margin Scofield. Huh? That's a joke. Okay, some of y'all are smiling. That was just a joke. All right, Psalm 73. Just to kind of get us started, then I'll pray, and then I'm going to talk about the message this morning. Psalm 73. We'll go through the whole thing. First 15 verses. Tell me if you haven't had this kind of thought and this thing run through your mind. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. You ever looked out at the ungodly? You ever looked out at people in the world? And they have a pretty good life. Got a good job, good salary, nice car, play golf on the weekends, big TV, pretty happy, pretty content, you know? And, you know, a lot of times you talk to them about the Lord and they have absolutely no interest in God because, why? They don't have any needs. They're just taken care of. And have you ever let that, has that ever got into your heart and caused bitterness? You know, have you ever thought, well, I'm serving God, you know? Why don't I get that? You know, why didn't God take care of me? Why do they get the good jobs and why this and why that? Okay, have you ever done that? I have, all right? And yet in the next two verses we see our duty, okay? This is what God expects of us. 15 and 16 says, if I say I will speak thus, I'm sorry, 16 and 17. 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And then he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. And a lot of times we get that kind of bitterness in our hearts. Why? Because we're not in fellowship with God. We've lost our perspective. Okay? We need to draw close unto God. We need to get into the Scripture, allow the Holy Spirit of God to minister unto us through the Scripture so that we get a proper perspective. Okay, the proper perspective is in the following verses. Okay, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, about our perspective as individuals and our perspective as a church. Okay, verse 18. Here's what this guy understood after entering into the sanctuary of God. After setting his eyes in proper perspective and looking at eternity, he said, surely thou didst set them, the wicked, in slippery places. Thou castest them down in destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Think about that. Do you want God to despise you? I mean, what would it be like to have God despise you? Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Now I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You know, we all got to die, right? Unless the rapture comes first. And the moment you die, death will take from you everything that's precious to you. It will take your spouse, it'll take your children, it'll take your career, it'll take your home, your family, it'll take everything from you. And I think, you know, in the day that we die, and the day that I die, or the day that you die, and we look back upon our life, what do we want to have lived for? I mean, do we want to be on our deathbed and have regrets? And I think the question is, or the answer is, no, we don't want to have regrets. We want to live today as individuals. We want to live today as Christians, either in community in our church or even as individuals in separate churches. We want to live for things that are eternal so that when that day comes and we're on our deathbed, we have labored for the Lord in such a way that we can die in peace. And death does not rob us of everything that is precious to us. Death gives us the opportunity to go and see firsthand all those things that are precious to us. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start out our church here, Harvest Baptist Church, with a question. Why in the world are we here?